Very shortly, I look forward to having a chat to a man who thinks that the New South Wales government should go, and that's New South Wales opposition leader Mark Speakman, who's been a member of the New South Wales Legislative Assembly since 2011, representing Cronulla, obviously for the Liberal Party. And on the 21st of April this year, my next guest became the leader of the opposition and the leader of the Liberal Party in New South Wales, and that's Mark Speakman, who joins me now. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Richard. How are you?
Good, thanks. Good. And yourself? We haven't spoken before.
Nice
to have a bit of time and have a bit of a chat. Look, everybody's had their 20 cents worth on Daniel Andrews' performance as the Victorian Premier over the last 9 years. Did you have much to do with Daniel Andrews in his time as Premier?
I only met him once. Earlier in my time as Attorney General, we had a national redress scheme to help victims of sexual abuse in institutions, and New South Wales and Victoria were the first states to sign up to that scheme, and I met him in that context.
It seems interesting that everybody, during the pandemic, everybody had something to say about premiers in other states, particularly the WA Premier McGowan, who's now gone, Anastasia Palaszczuk in Queensland, and Daniel Andrews in Victoria. It's interesting, we're all experts about other states' politics and their premiers. And in fact, a lot of people don't know much about their own state. It seems strange, don't you think?
It is. But look, when I met him once, he was certainly pleasant enough. But I think he has left Victoria in a far more difficult situation than the Liberals and Nationals left New South Wales in March. We're looking at Victoria with twice the debt per head of New South Wales and half the infrastructure spend.
All right. Speaking of spending, your response to the New South Wales budget, you handed down your reply last week. You've labelled the government's budget as putting union mates ahead of hard-working households and families. Would you like to elaborate a little bit on that, Mark?
Sure. So, look, the budget, what the government promised to do at the election was to have big increases for public servants, but they would all be funded, so the government said, from productivity improvements, so it wouldn't cost the taxpayer anything. Lo and behold, after the election, pay rises happened, but the government has not found one productivity offset. And that means that the taxpayer is footing a growing bill. So we're looking at potentially $8 billion over the next few years, which could have been spent on other things. And at the same time, the government is cutting its spending in real terms on health, education, on fire and rescue, police and TAFE. So the government seems to have lost control of the budget, and because it hasn't been able to control its employee expenses, which are almost half the budget, it hasn't funded them from productivity offsets. We're now looking at cuts to education, health, fire and rescue, police and TAFE.
You also said there's been very little in the budget to address social housing and nothing to alleviate the cost of living pressures for families, and this housing crisis is massive. Yours was an interesting suggestion, and this is you're suggesting a housing policy which would see home purchasers over the age of 55, boomers, exempt from paying stamp duty. Could you just elaborate on that a little bit?
Sure. Well, look, you've got to tackle the housing crisis in a number of ways. It's supply and demand, and one problem we've got are large family homes that aren't available to younger families to move in. We've got 1.4 million people in New South Wales over the age of 55, either living by themselves or with a partner, but without children, in 3- and 4-bedroom houses. So they're houses that could you could choose to downsize and have younger families occupy. So we were looking at a scheme which would encourage that downsizing. We're not forcing people to downsize if they don't want to, but one of the obstacles to downsizing is the cost of stamp duty if you're buying a smaller place. So it wasn't an across-the-board exemption for over 55s. It would have been an exemption with appropriate thresholds about the size of the property you're downsizing from, the size you're downsizing to, the dollar amount, your age, and so on, giving them an exemption if they downsized.
All right. Look, I mean, it's obviously a huge issue, the housing crisis. Exacerbated, certainly many listeners to this program have said, look, the immigration numbers are exacerbating the housing crisis. Former New South Wales Premier Bob Carr has called for a slashing of the numbers that we're bringing into the country. What's your opinion about the immigration rate at the moment?
Well, look, I think in the long term, we have to maintain a steady but sustained but sustainable flow of migration. We've got a skills shortage at the moment. But at the moment, what we're seeing is, whereas pre-COVID, we were looking at about 250,000 migrants a year, this year it's going to top 400,000, and that is putting enormous pressure on the housing market. So there's probably a case for taking your foot off the accelerator for the moment, but eventually we've got to keep, you know, in the long term, I think a steady but sustained migration program.
Speaking of, you know, taking the foot off the pedal, many would say we've got to put the foot on the pedal in this transition to renewables. Energy and the cost of electricity are a massive issue. The Premier has said that they'll, with respect to a Raring power station, keep it open if it's needed beyond its closure date of 2025. What's your opinion on spending public money on keeping a Raring power station open?
Well, the first priority has to be to keep the lights on and to keep electricity affordable. But I don't think the government has yet made out a case that what it's doing with a Raring will do that. If you wanted to keep, if you thought there was an electricity shortfall, you wouldn't declare we're going to keep a Raring open and then weaken your bargaining position with the operators of a Raring. You'd be talking to them privately first. Or you'd be going to the market and saying, can someone supply a battery? Can someone supply a gas-fired power plant? It may be that a Raring ends up being the answer, but you test the market first. You try to get the best value for the taxpayer. The government hasn't done that. But it's also not clear that opening a Raring is actually going to improve electricity supply. Part of the problem is with an aging coal plant like a Raring, it often fails, and sometimes its reliability is a bigger problem than the wind not blowing or the sun not shining. So I don't think the government has made out a case on a Raring, and even if there were a gap to be plugged, I don't think it's gone about it in the most effective way.
16 past seven, my guest, New South Wales Opposition Leader Mark Speakman. Another topic you've had a bit to say on is voluntary assisted dying. As of the 28th of November, eligible people will have the choice to access voluntary assisted dying, putting us in line with, I think, pretty well the rest of Australia. You are opposed to voluntary assisted dying?
Well, that was my conscientious view. So we had a free vote in Parliament. All MPs could vote according to their conscience. My concern about it was protecting the vulnerable. It wasn't a kind of moralistic concern or casting doubt on people's choices. And you know, I recognise that there are people who are in dreadful pain and dreadful situations, but I was concerned about safeguards for protecting the elderly who are in a vulnerable position. But anyway, Parliament has resolved to do it, and as you say, it's coming in November.
You're also a yes supporter, which, as a Liberal Premier, puts you at odds with many others within your party. But you've also expressed concerns that we need to prepare ourselves for it to fail. And at the moment, according to the opinion polls, it does look like it won't get up. What do you think it will mean if the yes vote doesn't win on October the 14th?
Well, when I made my statement on the 12th of August saying that I personally would be voting yes, I did indicate at the time that it was likely the referendum would fail, or if it failed, if it succeeded, it would only succeed by a narrow majority. Neither of the results bring people together. Look, I think it will be a disappointment for many in the Indigenous community, but we just have to prepare for that likely result and move on and do the best we can to improve Indigenous outcomes. They are often disastrous. We've got Aboriginal women 30 times more likely to be victims of domestic violence ending up in hospital, Aboriginal men 10 times as likely to be in prison, more likely in your 20s if you're Aboriginal to be in prison than to be at university. So they're dreadful statistics. I thought the voice was a practical way of tackling that, not a magic wand, not the be-all and end-all. But ultimately, I'm just one vote. Everyone gets a say, and that's what happens on the 14th of October.
Okay, and I'll let you have a say on the NRL Grand Final on Sunday. Of course, I'm a Newcastle Knights supporter. Our women are hoping to make it 2 out of 2. They're playing the Titans, but I'm assuming you're going to go for Penrith on Sunday against the Broncos, Mark?
Well, the poor old Sharks aren't there. We've only won once in half a century, so it looks like it'll have to be Penrith.
Yeah, all right. Pleasure to talk to you. And I have to say, too, according to, I think it was the telly, a poll conducted, that a lot of people just don't know who you are. So it's a matter of getting out there and not only selling your policies but selling yourself, Mark, in a real sense?
Well, look, it's a slow and steady race. Being opposition leader, I think that's the kind of part of the job is a lot of people don't know you, but you've just got to get out there and work at it. It's a marathon, not a sprint. We've got 3.5 years to the next election, but I'll be working my tail off in the meantime.
Appreciate your time this morning. Thank you very much for that.
Thanks, Richard.
Good on you, Mark. Mark Speakman, New South Wales opposition leader on a Wednesday morning with Richard King.